We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
This week on Monday, we kind of had my family, Julia, myself, and the kids. We took a sporadic trip to visit my in-laws, Julia's family in Pennsylvania. Her father has had all this furniture that he's been wanting us to take off of his hands, and we've just kept delaying it and delaying it and delaying it. And he got to the point where he's like, "All right, it's kind of now or never." And it worked because winter's coming, snow's coming, and so it's like we really needed to do it. So we drove down there on Monday, and Monday night we spent the day and the evening with Julia's family, her grandparents, and some of her other family members were there. And it's been 9 years since Julia's life totally turned around, from being an unbeliever and really, living in the world. And it, to me, I never knew her like that. So it's always shocking to hear her tell her testimony. And it is like she says, it all happened to somebody else, and those of you, if I'm assuming most, if not everyone, knows her testimony, but, just the mess that she was in. Well, her family had never really heard from her about what happened. Sometimes we wonder if they actually, preferred crazy Julia to born again Julia, because, for her, it meant leaving the Catholic Church. And even though her life became radically different and better, a lot of times it was just seen as she left the church. And even though she, stopped drinking alcohol and partying and, got out of abusive relationships and, got off of, she was on all these prescriptions from psychiatrists and had PTSD from the abuse and all kinds of mess, and she's never been able to really share her testimony about how her life changed. Well, on Monday, do you want to come share? You asked me to share, you'd do such a better job. Oh, okay. I thought you wanted to come share your testimony. But so she shared with her family, what happened, and they were just I think because for some reason, again, it was almost they saw everything almost through a religious lens, and she was able to say clearly, look, this is how messed up my life was. And she had told her grandparents, "You remember when I got a DUI and I got pulled over right in front of your house, and how you had to come pick me up from jail the next morning?" And then telling her mom, "You remember when I came home and from the hospital, my face was totally mashed in from being beaten up from this guy," and all these different things. And then she was able to share how the only thing that changed all of that was being born again. And she shared everything that happened in her life from since being born again. And you would think, since it's been 9 years, and how many times has she shared the testimony here? Well, her family had never really gotten to hear that. They only vaguely understood that, basically she went to some conference, she talks about Jesus now, and she left our church, and they didn't understand. And so she got to, we were talking for an hour, and they started asking questions about, about Jesus and all of these things. So for an hour, we got to share with the gospel with them. Now, granted, not no one prayed with us to be, give their hearts to Jesus, but That doesn't matter to us. We shared the word for an hour with them, and we didn't hold back, and they were legitimately asking questions, you know, how do you know you're saved, and, you know, what does it mean to be born again, and even about Jesus doing miracles and all these different things. So it was just totally awesome, you know, because she told me that she had prayed going down there. Even though we were going to get furniture, she just prayed, Lord, you know, use this time that we have with our family to open the opportunity to make an impact on them. And that's always been our heart whenever we go there, is to make an impact on them. And so we're just going to, you know, keep praying and believing in faith that the seed that was sown, the word of God, will bring back the fruit. Amen, that they'll become born again. And what a testimony that's going to be when that takes place. But she asked me to share that, and it was just totally awesome. You know, I mean, it was so cool because, you know, her grandpa, we call him Nanu. That's like what she calls their, I guess that's the Italian way of, I mean, at least that's what I'm told, is the Italian way of saying grandpa or whatever. So they call him Nanu, and he would tell me, you know, well, one of my favorite passages is the story of the 10 lepers. And, you know, like for them, you know, it's kind of just like a story. And like, and then his mom, or Julia's mom, said, you know, one of my favorite stories is the woman with the issue of blood. And then like, it was cool because like after they said that, they like looked at me. And so I just shared what those passages, you know, meant. And so I got to share, like, you know, the 10 lepers, how they took action on their faith. And then the one that came back, you know, thankful to God and worshiped God. And then, you know, the woman with the issue of blood, how she placed the demand of faith on the anointing and how God worked. And so it was just so cool because, you know, I mean, normally we talk about the weather and, I don't know, just stuff, you know, and it's almost hard to, like, share. And so sometimes you feel like giving up on family members and different things, but you never know when the Lord is going to open up that opportunity to share. And so it was a blessing to us, and maybe that encourages some of you with family members that just, you know, don't give up. Believe for their salvation. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, and let's go to verse 16. This is where I was supposed to go to last week, but never got there. Tonight, actually, this passage here gives us really the key, or keys maybe, to living victoriously as believers, as New Testament Christians. You know, we already had our breaker issues, but if someone could hit the very bottom breaker in that room, the bottom right one, there's two panels, there's one on the left and there's one on the right, hit the very bottom right one, and that'll turn all the fans off. I don't know why, and for the record, those of you that were here Sunday, and the temperature in here was, I don't know, 64, 65 degrees. Well, I think it was like 65 by the time service started. Like, for the record, that wasn't on purpose. We actually turned the heating on Saturday at 1 p.m. And that's great, thank you. It literally ran from Saturday 1 p.m. all the way to Sunday 10:30 when service started, and the temperature went from 60 degrees during that whole, 19 hours or 20 hours, whatever it was, up to 65. And so, you know, I talked to, you know, my dad and to Tom, and I'm like, guys, there's something's not functioning right here. So Tom basically was here today, and my dad, and that they've been here throughout the week, kind of like testing different things on the sanctuary and or on the furnace that heats the sanctuary. And so they think that they have something fixed. And so hopefully, you know, because I don't ever want people to come in here and have to like, I'm looking around, people are like in coats and stuff. And like, I don't care if it's winter. I mean, we want it to be warm in here, but didn't want anyone to think that we're like intentionally leaving it like 65 in here because we are worried about the heating bills. You know, like the Lord will provide the finances for the heating bill. The problem was we couldn't even get the heat up. And so hopefully we don't run into that problem again. I say that because the fans were on, and maybe, you know, I didn't want people getting cold. But the fans are on to push the heat down because, you know, the heat goes up. And so anyway, what we're planning on doing in here is we're actually, I know this is all like completely side note, but whatever. We're going to probably, these brick cinder blocks, they just hold the cold. They're hard to keep. They're hard to get warm. And so what we're talking about doing is completely putting drywall from that on that whole wall there and this whole wall here all the way around in here, because the drywall it'll basically be like whatever, there'll be some sort of buffer, then your studs, and then insulation, then drywall, and that insulation will allow the room to heat up a lot quicker. And then we don't even know if there's any insulation between the ceiling and the roof, because you can't see anything from underneath. So unless it's above, so anyway, that's probably where a lot of heat is going. But those are fun projects that we're going to be working on, to try to get this place to heat up. We'll probably eventually, there's all these glass windows in here that we assume are original, probably like 1960, that means, which means that they don't really, more than likely they're not keeping any heat in, and they're probably very inefficient. So we'll probably be ordering new glass panels to go in there and replace that. So either way, if you're ever in here Sunday morning and you think it's cold, we know, and and we're working on it. We're going to be doing different things. So we got a quote back for the stage. Friends of mine, they started a company that basically do those big stages where the entire stage is like a TV screen. And the quote that we got back for our stage to put like a TV screen stage back there, so basically the whole thing looks like you can put whatever you want back there, the quote was like $35,000 for it. So I think we're going to hold off on that, just because it's like, you know, not that I wouldn't want to put my faith out there for that, but it's like, I always try and look at return on investment, you know. How is our going to be our return on investment for $35,000 to have the coolest stage in Brockport, you know, versus like, you know, advertising and different things that we could do to the building, you know, like making it warm in here. So, you know, so either way, but we're going to do some things. Every time I come in here, I look at this wall and I just think, man, I can't stand that wall. So I don't know if you guys are the same as me, but like when I see that, I'm just like, that thing has to go. So this week, maybe even tomorrow, I might break out the sledgehammer. It's in the shed, and I don't know. Not that you would need a sledgehammer to take that down, but I feel like sledgehammers just make it more enjoyable. You know, so no one to get in trouble with now, you know. So either way, that's coming down. And then what we're going to do is we already have, this is just an old banner, but we already have like a projector screen that basically we're going to stretch kind of like higher up across there. And then so that wall will be gone. All this, you know, and that screen that's up there now is way too big, as you can tell, like when the worship's on, it's like, you know. Either way, so there's some stuff that we're going to do, and we still have to paint the kids' church downstairs. And so we were holding off on that because we wanted to see, like, with the moisture coming through the walls, you know, it's still a problem. And, you know, we can't really wait to paint the kids' church walls until next year. But basically, probably in the spring sometime, spring through summer, we'll probably have to dig out around the foundation to basically try and solve that problem. Because the only way you can keep moisture permanently out is from the outside, from coming in. You can't, like, really seal it out from the inside out. So, fun stuff, but, I think it's fun because it's our building and we can do stuff to make it, you know, nice in here, and we'll actually, you know, gain value from doing that. So, I don't know what got me going on all of that. I don't know if any of you care, but I think, okay, thank you, Judy, thank you. I was telling that just for you. All right. What do you know? Yeah. You need to talk to my dad, because you can work with my dad, you know. All right. Because yeah, that's, you know, that, I mean, for me, I don't mind the look, but it's at this point, it's not about the look, it's about the temperature, you know. So we don't want like Eskimos in here, you know, and yeah, and if when we put AC in here, you know, that'll help keep it cool as well. So, did anyone find Galatians 5 yet?
Yes.
All right. I hope so. So really, here we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And if you were a Christian growing up, you sat in Sunday school, and so you know the fruit of the Spirit. And I think sometimes because of that, like, I mean, my daughter, she just turned 3, and, you know, she comes home, and she'll talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and she tells me, no, she'll get her preaching, you know, voice on, and she'll say, no one talking when I'm talking, no one talking when the teacher's talking. That's what she says. I assume that maybe she's heard that before, but no one talking when the teacher's talking. And then she says, she's so cute, she says, the Spirit says, and she says it like with a P on the end, you know, instead of a T, and she'll talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and she goes, she normally gets like 1 and stops there. But either way, it's cute. But I say that because, like, you know, sometimes, like, you know, we've heard about the fruit of the Spirit for, like, you know, if you grew up in church, probably since you were a little kid. And so sometimes you almost, like, read through, like, the fruit of the Spirit, and you can just kind of, like, go through it and maybe not realize how much power is in these verses here and how much opportunity for success in life is right here in the fruit of the Spirit. So first off, let's just read through this passage. I'm probably going to start in the New King James, and maybe we'll look at a couple of them in the Amplified. But in verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And then it goes on to say here in the next chapter, Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. For bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each shall bear his own load. Okay, so let's go back to verse 16 of chapter 5. And in the Amplified it says, But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and the desires of the flesh, of the human nature without God. The only word that I have a problem here with, and maybe if it's just, because sometimes what the Amplified does, you have to understand, like, the Amplified, what they do is often, like, they're looking at translations. So you have the original language, the Greek language, and then it's translated into our language. And what the Amplified does, whereas, like, what the, compared to, like, for example, the King James or New King James does, is they'll try and pick the correct word that they think is fitting for that translation. And what the Amplified does is it says, well, there's these 3 or 4 possible words that this could mean, or these expressions in our language, so rather than just try to pick the right one and hope we got it right, let's just put them all there. And so sometimes it's great, and it does, like, really help bring out some stuff. And the only word here that you could almost get the wrong impression from is where it says controlled by the Spirit. Like, where it says, But I say live, walk, and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled, if you were to say controlled by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't control anyone. We're all free, we all have free will, and I don't know about you, but I never woke up one morning and the Holy Spirit took control of my body and walked me to the bathroom and brushed my teeth for me and then caused me to go, you know, he never forced me to love my wife. So it's not saying control in the sense of like he actually controls us, but if we're listening to and we're being led by it, like it says there, if we're responsive to and guided by the Spirit, it's almost like in that sense you're being controlled, not as if he's in control of us, but that we're listening to him, and in that way we're being controlled. Does that make sense? And I only say that because, you know, sometimes when I read this, you know, I at least want to clarify some of those things, because the Holy Spirit won't actually control you. You'll be controlled in the sense that if you are responding to him and obeying him, then yeah, in that sense, it works. Okay? But he says here, live, walk and live in the Holy Spirit. At least this is what the Amplified says. If you have the New King James or King James, it probably just says Spirit. But we're to live in the Spirit. And you see, anytime where God tells us in his word to do something, that implies that it's possible to do it, right? So if he says to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, then we can. And here, he says that if we walk in the Spirit, then we will certainly not gratify the cravings and the desires of the flesh or of the human nature without God. And then at the end of verse 17, it says in the New King James, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Really, where he's talking about the flesh. The flesh and the spirit are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. And there's another passage where Paul talks about this, where he's saying, you know, he's describing almost like this inner battle. Like there's this, you know, I wish to do the things of God, I wish to do the things of the spirit, but then I'm at war with myself, I'm at war with my nature, I'm at war with the flesh, and sometimes I do the things that I don't want to do. Well, this is what he's talking about. It's the battle of the flesh versus the spirit. And here he gives us the answer to it. And that's living daily, walking daily in the Spirit. Because he said that in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, so the lust of the flesh is then very vividly described through the works of the flesh. And what's interesting is you look at the works of the flesh, and it doesn't say the works of the devil. Did you ever, because I think sometimes when we think about these things, especially look when here, when it says idolatry, sorcery, hatred, like, I mean, you think like, of course, that's the devil. But here it says it's the works of the flesh or the human nature without God, as the Amplified says. So it's not even necessarily that you have to be operating under the power of the devil to do any of these things. It says it's the work of the flesh. But as New Testament believers, look at the end of this passage here in chapter 5. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Or verse 24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. You see, the flesh, it's clearly evident when you look at anyone that's living in the world, because they participate in these works of the flesh. Maybe not all of them. Maybe not everyone's into sorcery or idolatry or these different things, but maybe they have some of these things happening. And as New Testament Christians, just because you became born again doesn't mean that these works of the flesh won't ever try to pop up in your own life. Well, how do we get rid of them? How do we master the flesh? How do we overcome? And again, you've probably heard me mention that the word flesh there probably would be better, the word that would be better there would be senses, because it's not just talking about the desire of our body. Because, you know, for example, heresy, my body doesn't desire heresy, right? You know, that's a soulish thing. Dissensions that it mentions there. Hatred. These are not things that my body expresses, my flesh. Some of these other things here, you know, fornication, that might be a bit of both. You know, there's a fleshly desire there, like a physical body desire there, as well as maybe something from my soulish realm. But you see, it's sometimes we use the word flesh and we just go to thinking about our physical body. But really, here it's talking about the senses, or you could just say the carnal realm. But you see, it says there that we, if we're Christian, if we're Christ, then we have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. So we aren't meant to live with these works of the flesh in our life. But we can, as Christians, have these things be tempting us or have problems with these areas. How? Well, if we're not doing what he says here. If we're not living in the Spirit. And you know, on our Sunday series, we're talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? Which is, as we know, being immersed in the Holy Spirit, with evidence of speaking in tongues and all that comes with that, of course. And so by being immersed in the Spirit, and that enables us to walk in the Spirit on a daily basis. But so if we're to walk in the Spirit, and the only way that we're going to overcome the temptations of the flesh is by walking in the Spirit, then what do we have to do? We have to be very intentional about walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And how do you do that? Well, what do you feed? If you're feeding the flesh, if you're feeding and gratifying the flesh through everything that's out there and available, and you never feed the Spirit, your spirit man gets weak, and you end up being tempted easier in the flesh. You know, you'll be tempted by so much fewer things if you just spend your time in the right places with the right people. But too often we spend our time, not we as in us here tonight, but as Christians collectively or as people collectively, we spend our time reading the wrong things, watching the wrong things, spending time doing the wrong things. Sometimes, you know, I would think that, you know, man, if we could just go back 100 years ago where we didn't have all this evil technology, and it'd be so much easier, right? But it's not, because you read through the Bible and you read about Sodom and Gomorrah. Man, they didn't have problems with iPhones back then in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? You read about Noah and his day and how the Lord had to flood the whole earth because people were evil. It's not a technology problem. It's a heart problem. Granted, technology might make it easier. Granted, it might be easier, you know, if you're in certain areas where alcohol or drugs or, you know, sexual enticements are easier access, but ultimately, it's not a problem that we have just, oh, it's 2019, so it's so easy to be evil. No, you can look back at any period throughout history, and it's a problem that people face because it's a heart problem. But we have the answer here as to how to avoid that, and that is by walking in the Spirit, by feeding the Spirit. You know, when you start your day off in prayer, and you start your day off in the Word of God, I'm telling you, it makes a great difference. But how easy is it to wake up, you know, okay, so maybe you need to be at work, maybe you need to be at class, maybe, you know, the kids are waking up, and we wait till, you know, 5 minutes past when we were supposed to be up, right, to get up. And now we wake up and we're scrambling, right, you know? You're in a hurry, you're running. I have no time for nothing. I don't even have time to say hello to my wife, you know, because we're in a hurry. Well, you know, I mean, what are the fruit of the Spirit down here? Isn't one of them self-control? Maybe sometimes we've over-spiritualized things. Maybe self-control is going to bed on time. I'm telling you, in this passage here of the fruit of the Spirit is your key to victory in just about every area of life. Wouldn't self-control solve dieting problems? Wouldn't self-control solve spending problems? Wouldn't self-control solve drug problems? Wouldn't self-control solve so many problems in our culture? And this is the work that the fruit of the Spirit is the work that the Spirit accomplishes within our life as we allow Him to. As we seek Him, as we desire Him, as we are filled up with His presence and immersed by Him, well, then this is how we begin to walk in the Spirit. Remember, Jesus said that my words are spirit and they are life. So I know that sometimes when we say just, you know, when we're talking about seeking the Holy Spirit, that we tend, I mean, maybe it's me because I've grown up Pentecostal, but when I think about seeking the Holy Spirit, I think about, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, about getting, you know, prayed for, about speaking in tongues and these things, but also we have to remember that there's many different facets of the Holy Spirit, one of which Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And so we, you know, again, going to God's Word to feed our spirit man on a regular basis, starting our day off that way. And then it's not even just about reading the Bible, even though that's a huge part of it. But, for example, in Romans chapter 10, where it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, well, that word there is rhema, which implies that God is speaking directly to us. The Greek word. You have logos, you have rhema. So we generally talk about faith coming from us reading the word of God, which ultimately it will. But also that word there is specifically talking about God speaking to us. How is God going to speak to us if we aren't giving him an opportunity? You know, if all of our free time is filled up with doing different stuff, you know, great, we got, I understand it. We're a busy society. We have a lot going on. We have the kids to take care of. We have jobs to do. We have our house to take care of. But then we do occasionally, even busy people, occasionally we get free time. But what do we do with our free time? We fill it up with something else to do. You know, oh, now this is you know, you hear this sometimes, you hear this about maybe why people don't come to church on Sunday, and they say, that's my only day to have to myself. Sunday's my only day for myself. Well, you know, if they're not a believer, understandable, whatever. But if we're talking about born-again believers, and we need a day for ourselves, well, wouldn't that day be better spent in the at least our morning, not even full day, but just our morning in the presence of God, hearing the Word of God, and then being filled up by the Spirit of God? Because that's what's ultimately going to cause us to live in success. I'm telling you, it says here that there's no law against the fruit of the Spirit, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. In the Amplified, I think it gives a few different, adds a few words to it. Love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, an even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. All right, right there, I just solved everyone's marriage trouble. Right? If you think about it, I solved all your problems at work because if you're a faithful employee, you know, you're going to be a hard worker, you'll be there on time, you're going to work hard. You know, if we're just kind to our wife, we'll get so much further, right? If we had patience with our spouse, we'd have such a better relationship, right? If we had patience with our children, you know what I mean? I'm telling you, this is the key here for solving just about every Christian problem that you could come against. Goodness, which here it adds benevolence, which implies generosity. I already mentioned self-control. You know, all these different things. If we could just get these down, and again, it's sometimes, you know, we want something very spiritual to do in order to think that we're going to get ahead. Like, I need a specific word from the prophet or the prophetess in order for me to, like, direct my life to get things right so that I can start pulling ahead. I'm telling you, if we just went back to, like, kindergarten Christianity and just focused on that, if literally for the rest of the year you spent working on the fruit of the Spirit, you would live more victoriously than you ever did in your life. But sometimes, again, we want something that has a little more pizzazz to it, right? Or am I just talking to myself? I don't know, because sometimes that's the way I think, you know? Like, oh, if I could just, you know, maybe if I could meet David Oyedepo, who has the largest church in the world, and he could lay hands on me, then maybe, maybe things would just explode, you know, or maybe he gets a vision, you know, and tells me about, like, this vision that he has, and like, I don't know, like, you know, sometimes I'm picking on myself, maybe it's just me, but I'm looking for, like, or what if Jesus appeared to me like he did to Kenneth Hagin 5 times? Like, Jesus, you haven't appeared to me yet. You appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus. What? You haven't appeared to me. Maybe if Jesus would appear to me, then things would be different in my life. Is it just me, or does anyone else ever think about, like, you know, what if I would even settle for the Archangel Gabriel, you know, hand-delivering me a message from heaven? Like, that'd be awesome. Huh? Yeah, I would settle. I mean, I'd prefer Michael. He's you know, the war angel. Gabriel's just the, you know, delivery guy. But I'm saying I would settle for that. I'd take that. I mean, I'd prefer Jesus over either any of them, you know, but, you know, I'd settle. But, you know, maybe though, like, because again, like, that just would make it all so easy. But, you know, the fruit of the Spirit are boring. I've been learning that since I was like 3, like my daughter. You know, she's going to tell me that in 30 years, you know, like, I've been learning the fruit of the Spirit. But I'm telling you, if we got back to this, your marriage problems solved, your financial problems solved, your career problems solved, your relationship problems solved. Like, I don't know of a problem that more fruit of the Spirit doesn't solve. Like, even if someone told me, like, well, I'm locked up and I'm in prison, I would say work on patience. You know, patience will solve that problem right there. You know, it's a great opportunity for you to learn how to walk in love. I'm trying to think of a problem where the fruit of the Spirit doesn't solve it. You know, I think most of the time, I mean, I want to say like healing, but even in faithfulness implies that you're full of faith. So you can't even really do that. But I mean, in relationships, I mean, I don't know. I'm all about success. I want to succeed in everything that I do. And maybe for me, I've just complicated things, because here I read this list and I'm like, yeah, I could probably work on each and every single one of them. You know, I've been born again. I don't even remember when I got born again. I've been going to church since I was a kid, and I don't remember not being born again. I just remember there's this point where, like, I had this encounter with Jesus. I always talk about that when I was just about to turn 14, and that's when it all became real to me. But even before that, you know, I always confessed Jesus as my Lord, and I believed in Him. But that's when it all became real to me. You know, but even being raised in church, even, you know, being in ministry, all of these fruit of the Spirit, I feel like, yeah, I need to work on each and every single one of them. Because I'm telling you, when people drive in front of me, patience is not the first thing that comes to my mind, right? Like, just be patient. No, it's like, man, if I put my high beams on, will that cause them, you know, to go, you know, if I could just, maybe I'll just floor it and just go screaming by them. You know, I mean, when it's 2 a.m. and Scarlett's crying and my wife rolls over and says, babe, can you go check if she's got a poop? You know, like, my first thought isn't love, joy, peace, patience. My first thought is like, dear God, why is anyone awake right now? And I don't want to walk in love at that point, you know? So I think this is something that all of us, I mean, sorry, not all of us, I don't want to pick on anyone else. This is something that I need to work on, is the fruit of the Spirit. And I know that that's going to solve so many problems. But how do we do that? It's by walking in the Spirit on a daily basis. And, you know, for people that struggle with lusts of the flesh, well, here's our answer, you know, is walking in the Spirit on a daily basis. And when you read through down through the works of the flesh, I think every single person on the planet at some point has struggled with these. You know, I remember being a kid, and this thing, it talks here about anger. And I'm telling you, I had rage. It was beyond anger. It was like whatever I could put my hands on to hit my brother with, that's what was going at him. I mean, piece of firewood, I was a good shot. You know, I took this piece of firewood, and my oldest brother, he was running flat out away from me. He was probably, you know, at least here to the window panes, probably, you know, 30 yards running full speed, and I hit him right in the back of the head, no problem. Dropped him like a sack of potatoes, and I was in a rage. It wasn't, I mean, I was mad. But, you know, I've never had a problem like that since being, that was angry Jeremiah. But once I got, you know, once I had that encounter with God where the Holy Spirit worked in my life, it wasn't an instant, like, I never dealt with it from that day forward, but it was a gradual work to the point of where, like, anger just started to leave my life. And, but that's not to say that I haven't gotten angry since. Anytime that you struggle with the work of the flesh, you have to go back to looking at how have I been walking in the Spirit. Rather than trying to solve the problem of how to not walk in the flesh, try and figure out how can I walk in the Spirit more. And you'll naturally solve the problem of the works of the flesh. Because if you're spending, you know, sometimes it's, you know, we think like, man, if I just didn't have this temptation, or I just didn't struggle with this anymore, you know, there's no point in naming whatever. There's any number of temptations there. But maybe it's like, if I just didn't have that anymore. But if we don't think about not doing those things, but rather think about just what does it take to walk in the Spirit on a daily basis? If you were to tell somebody else how to walk in the Spirit in a day, in their daily life, what would you tell them? Would you say, you know, wake up, start your day off, watching TV, reading magazines, or, you know, whatever, and, you know, don't pray, don't read your Bible. You know, I mean, we know the obvious answers, but it's sometimes so easy not to do those things. Uh-oh. Is that the time? No one was going to tell me. Okay. No, that was my fault. I mean, the Sunday was y'all's fault, but this is my fault. Y'all, sometimes, you know, when you visit Texas every now and then, you realize that it is a handy word. I don't like to admit it, but it is a handy word. We're way past time. Let's close. I don't know if that helped anyone. It helped me, you know, but again, it's always like, you know, if I just had the right connection with the right man or woman of God, and I had all these different things, you know, if I had the vision, if I had, you know, these powerful experiences, man, what if we just walked in the fruit of the Spirit? You know, Father God, I thank you that by coming boldly before you, coming to you and approaching you, your throne, your word, Lord, that you always lead us and guide us into truth, and I thank you that you give us the way to victory. Father, I thank you that this word would resonate in our hearts, that we work on walking in the Spirit so that we can crucify the flesh and not walk according to its lust, but being responsive to, led by the Holy Spirit, that your fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, would become more and more evident in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, say amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.